Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome today to Dr. Rita Marie's Blog Talk Radio Show. This is not Dr. Rita Marie. This is Lynn, and I have the privilege of being a co-host today because Dr. Rita Marie is taking a well-deserved vacation out on the beach. And we all know how she loves that beach. So we'll send her our love and thoughts that she's having a wonderful, relaxing time there on the beach. And today we have the wonderful opportunity to have Cassandra Herbert here. And Cassandra, I am privileged to say, is one of my colleagues in the nutritional endocrinology practitioner training that we're both in with Dr. Rita Marie. And she is also a holistic nurse, psychotherapist, and say that three times. I'm just learning more and more about her and the wonderful things that she brings, not only to our community here with Dr. Rita Marie, but in her community in Maryland. And so I'm going to let Cassandra tell a little bit more about herself and her training and what she does.
So yes. Well, thank you, Lynn, and I am delighted to be here with you today and on Dr. Rita Marie's show. So a little bit about myself is that, I'm a nurse. I became a nurse in, 1995. I also got a degree in psychology. So you would think I would want psych nursing, right? No, not at the time. I wanted, ER. I wanted fast-paced. I did not want psych nursing at all. But the universe saw a difference with that, and I got into psych nursing and fell in love with it at my first job, which was on a unit where it was a new unit where we really got to, the nurses got to develop a lot of how that unit went. From that, I always knew that I'd eventually go back to school and become a therapist, so I do that. But I actually graduated from school in adult mental health nursing in 2003, but I didn't open up practice until March of 2011. And the reason being is I really wanted to wait until, something just happened where I waited. And the waiting was actually perfect timing because I, at that time, also got my degree at postmaster's in holistic nursing. And so when that happened, I felt like, yes, it is time to open my practice because I am able to, treat the whole person. I just didn't want to, do talk therapy and just treat, what was going on with a person mentally and emotionally. I wanted to also help them physically and spiritually and relationally and all those different things. So I did that, and at that same time over my journey with sugar addiction and candida overgrowth and going to an integrative doctor, which at the time I was like, who, what? I don't understand. One of my friends recommended this person in 2000. And when I went to them and they sat with me for over an hour, which I'm sure, Lynn, you go to a doctor, an hour? Well, they're going to take a short hour, And she really helped me get to the root cause, which, Dr. Rita Marie is always talking about getting to that root cause of what was going on with me regarding my energy and my mood. The fact that I had a candida overgrowth, didn't know it, had it for 10 years, and I was feeding it with my sugar addiction. And that was what started my journey regarding nutrition and food as medicine, and me wanting to share that with others. So I was doing that in my therapy practice, as well as wanting to build up a coaching practice on teaching people about healthy foods and how they can taste good. And, you know, it doesn't have to taste like cardboard. That you can actually, you know, make your taste buds dance with healthy foods. And then
those pictures you post with your meals, I'm ready to just move in and have a plate.
Yes. I love doing that. I love sharing with people, and thank you. Especially at my job. So I still work as a nurse at a hospital, and I will take food there and share it with people, whoever will eat it, you know. And
yeah.
If people, you know, have been surprised at, like, oh, really? You know, like, you know, this doesn't have this in it, you know, it doesn't have sugar in it, it doesn't have dairy in it, you know, it's gluten-free, and people are, like, amazed at that. It can taste good without those things to it.
Right, and you probably introduced them to vegetables in the first place.
Right, so, yeah. So
that's what happens to me. It's like, oh, a vegetable. And so you're very busy, right? You are, as we say, one of these super women. And it's not that there's anything wrong with being a superwoman unless you become that imbalanced person, and then you have what's called that superwoman syndrome. And so if somebody is wondering if they may also be a part of this superwoman syndrome, what kind of symptoms, well, I don't like to necessarily use the word symptoms, but what can they look for within themselves to go, yeah, that might be me?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. And I actually have developed a quiz that I give to people to see if they actually have the superwoman syndrome. And I will just name some of the questions from this quiz, and then people can kind of, who are listening, they can kind of say yes or no if they have these questions, you know, to these questions. Do you think you have to do it all? Do you feel guilty telling others no? Are you constantly on the go? Do people think you are a great multitasker? Have you been called controlling in the past? Does the word vulnerable cause some uneasiness within you? Do you secretly feel not enough? Are you a slow starter in the morning? Are you calm on the outside but overwhelmed or anxious on the inside? So, and I have, like, it's like actually a 25-question quiz, but
yeah. And how many of those do you have to say yes to before you realize that is you?
Really, even saying yes to, like, five or more of those is basically it. I mean, and in my e-book, I only have, like, 7 of these questions on there, and I'm like, if you say yes to 4 or more. So with the 25, it's really like, if the majority of your questions are more yeses than nos, then you most likely have the superwoman syndrome.
Well, then I have the superwoman syndrome. Yes. You have my picture right there when you're developing these questions.
Yeah.
So now that we've figured out whether or not we have this superwoman syndrome, and let's say we do, which I apparently do, what do I do?
That's a good question. And before I go there, I just want to mention to people that actually there is a book, and it is called Overcoming Superwoman Syndrome by Dr. Lewis. And she actually describes, you know, these behaviors and the superwoman syndrome as a condition of constantly striving to accomplish everything possible in a perfect manner, and these women have not learned how to put themselves as a top priority. So that's another, that's kind of like your other definition for the superwoman syndrome, just as, you know, so people know.
And so is that Lewis, L-O-U-I-S, or Lewis, L-E-W-I-S?
L-E-W-I-S. So it's Dr. Madeline Ann Lewis.
Okay. All right. I've written that down so that I can get that.
Yes.
Thank you for that. So I know you were talking about, you've got this this ebook, because did you find yourself within this, having this superwoman syndrome yourself?
Yes, so it's interesting because, so since I've been in therapy practice, you know, having my own practice in therapy, the clients that I like to see was like, oh, I'll see anyone for therapy, I can help them. You know, and this went on for a while, and it wasn't until, you know, I started wanting to expand my coaching practice and hired a business coach who was like, well, who's your ideal client, you know? And I'm like, you know, I was kind of looking at it. And then she's like, well, even who's your ideal client? Who are the clients who come to you for therapy? Now, back up a little, probably with doing therapy, I would get these women who would come into my office, and I started telling them that you seem overwhelmed, this and that. And I would say, and this was even before I knew technically that superwoman syndrome was actually, had been researched and was a term, I would say, you have the superwoman syndrome. And I would joke around with them and say, this needs to go in the DSM. Well, now it's 5, the DSM-4, because this is criteria for people. And, you know, and I was, and it was funny because clients would look at me like, how do you know me? Like, how did you, like, were able to actually give a summary of me without me even telling you but a couple things, you know? And I would giggle to myself and think, because I am you.
That's right.
And so, yes. And I, through experience, through, you know, my own wellness journey, I have learned what things help so that I know when to put away that superwoman cape. I know how to get into a rhythm of my doing with being, or balancing my doing with being. And as a result, from my own personal experience and from attracting these clients and not even realizing it, so going back to that coach, she was like, yeah, look at the type of clients that you're already attracting. You're already resonating to attract this, you know, on-the-go superwoman. And so that's where I was like, okay. And so I already had the tools within me to be able to assist them, because I have changed that so that I know how to, you know, let go of that cape and now have become a woman who does super things instead of that superwoman who is overwhelmed and depleted and fatigued.
So you are no longer that superwoman who is overwhelmed and fatigued and all of that. And it doesn't sound like it's something that you can just wake up one day and take the cape off and say, yep, we're done. I'm assuming there is effort involved here. Did you think when you were talking about something, having them throw away a file, I thought you said like a DSM file?
Oh, yeah, it was more the you know, the book for, it's the psychiatric manual, the diagnostic,
okay.
The DSM, yes, yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if this is another book or something I should write down. I'm collecting.
No, actually, don't write that one down. I just, you know, I don't even like diagnosing, you know, people.
Okay. Yep, I hear you. So when you were doing this for yourself, I'm assuming recognizing it and seeing yourself within those words is an important thing to do. You know, at least for myself, frequently I'd be going, yeah, that's everybody else, it's just not me. you know, I'm fine, I can take care of these things, no problem. So what do you think is the first step a person has to do in recognizing this syndrome within themselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think, like you're saying, it's, you know, the people who come to me don't recognize that this is a problem at all. You know, it's not even until I point it out to them. They come more with the symptoms, and usually those symptoms are I'm overwhelmed, I'm anxious, I'm tired but wired, I have this, you know, I've gained all this weight and I can't seem to lose it. And then we go deeper and we look at, you know, how is their stress management, how is you know, them taking time for themselves, that self-care, and that's not happening. And then we look at, like, their schedule, what's going on with their schedule and stuff. And so they, you know, and it's usually a packed schedule, you know, it's like all these things. And so, and then they need the energy to get through the day, so they're not making the wisest food choices. You know, they're doing coffee and they're doing sugar and they're doing simple carbs just to have the energy to get through the day. So usually when people come to me, they don't even know that they really have the syndrome. They're usually coming and they're not able to function like they used to, because usually, and as you know, the superwoman is a high achiever. You know, it's about, like I said in that definition, they want to do things perfectly. So they're not going to admit that they have a problem until something's really affecting their productivity, their ability to do more. If that's affected, then they're most likely coming to see me, or their look, you know, because now they've gained more weight than they want to, and stuff like that. So that's when they come. So it's more like when they recognize, I cannot function the way I used to, let me look at how I can make a change.
Right. And so this isn't something that really positively affects people. I mean, it sounds really good, you know, Superwoman, you know, yeah. Like that old commercial, I can bring home the bacon.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'll do it in my heels. And so on one level, we have this positive aspect of it, because that's how we were built up to be, that we can do everything. But there is that aspect to it that doesn't have that positive impact on our lives. And that's both on a physical level as well as an emotional, mental level. At least that's what I'm thinking. What's your experience with that?
Oh, absolutely. And I know we're going to talk more about, like, those old patterns and beliefs, because that is so true, the whole bring home the bacon, frying up in a pan. So, yes, I want to come back to that when we get to talking about the transformative practices that I assist people with. But exactly, like you're saying, it seems like, oh, my goodness, being a superwoman would be great. Like I said in those questions, like, you are like congratulated for being a multitasker. You are celebrated for being busy. You know, it's like, and it feeds you. I know for me it would. I mean, even to this day, now, you know, you had said, about me being over the superwoman syndrome. I would say I'm a superwoman in recovery, and I still have triggers. And at times, those triggers do cause me to fall into old patterns. So some of those things, like you're saying, that affect you negatively is that, you know, like the emotional piece, you know, because it's that overwhelm. Like, I remember I would have so much going on that it was like I was juggling and keeping all these balls in the air. And if anything messed up my schedule, like somebody was late or I got up late or any of that, I mean, I would almost like a panic attack, because I'd be like, my heart would be racing. I would be like, oh my gosh, I got to get out the house. I'd be cranky. I'd be yelling at my husband. I'd be blaming him, because of course it's his fault, not my fault. Because my schedule is busy. Well, it's his fault. Yeah, exactly. So I'd have these crying spells, you know, like I would just be crying because it was like I couldn't let anybody know that I didn't have it all together. And that's the thing about the superwoman. On the outside, she looks like she's got it going on. You know, she's doing all this. She is taking care of the kids. You know, she's got a business. She's doing her business. And she's the top in her career. You know, she's doing everything. And people are like, oh, my goodness. But that's the thing. Deep down inside, she feels so overwhelmed, and it's like she doesn't want anyone to know. She doesn't want anyone to take a peek behind that curtain that she's really exhausted, that she's tired, and she'll never, ever admit it. So you got to think about, that's difficult. That was hard for me to be juggling that like that and not let anybody know. So that happens. So the emotional piece, the physical piece, because after a while, you cannot run on caffeine and sugar. It's going to totally affect your blood sugar, which I know that if people are listening in and they've been following Dr. Rita Marie, then they know, you know, the blood sugar, and it's going to affect their adrenals, and then that affects your sleep, you know, the whole tired but wired. You're going to have cravings for carbs and sugars. And so that, and then the weight gain, you know, all of that happens. There's a brain fog, the belly fat, so then the physical. But then the one thing that people... Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I was just reading today that too much sugar actually shrinks your brain. And,
I can believe it.
Yeah. I mean, there are studies that are showing that, and the older we get, the more it shrinks. And so I'm going to need every little bit of my brain. No more sugar.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's for all the superwomen who are listening. Just think, you want to be performing at your best, so you don't want to shrink your brain. So it's a good, it's a very good point. Now, the other one thing that I want to mention that happens with the woman who has the syndrome is not just what happens physically, mentally, and emotionally, but also what happens in relationships, and usually relationships with a partner. And I have found this with myself as well as with my clients. These women tend to have more of a yang energy, and if people don't know, the yang energy is the masculine energy. It's that doing energy. It's the very goal-focused energy, sunlight, and that's with traditional Chinese medicine. And the yin energy is the feminine energy, the receiving energy, stillness, intuitive, you know, darkness. And what happens with the superwoman, she tends, her yang tends to be way out of balance in comparison with her yin energy. And as a result, that can cause a lot of challenges in relationships with her partner, whether it's, same-sex partners, because I've even saw them in therapy, or in, you know, heterosexual partners. The same dynamics happen. And as a result, there's this one person who's going to be so controlling, so, like, I got it, not allowing their partner to shine with, you know, their male energy. And I know that in my marriage initially was a very much of a challenge because it was like, I got this. I'm the one. Let me develop it. It was almost hard for me to, my husband was more of a we, let's do this together. Whereas I was like, no, I want to lead. I want to wear the pants, but I want you to treat me like a woman too, you know? And it caused a lot of friction. So that's another aspect that people don't necessarily talk about, is kind of that balance of that yin and yang energy, especially in the relationship. And I'm not saying that you can't have a voice. Oh, yes, have a voice, but it's more that you're controlling.
Right. And it's kind of a dichotomy, because we think of ourselves as these unselfish, giving people. And it's not that we are completely selfish, but we're so controlling of how things should be. And I'm saying we because, you know, my hand is raised. I see my picture on the wall there with that. And so I have found myself from time to time just not being fully present because I'm so forward thinking about the next project that I don't enjoy the present. And so that's where the dichotomy comes in.
Oh, absolutely. That is such a great point, Lynn, because that's exactly what happens, you know, because the superwoman is a woman who gives a lot. Of course she's going to give a lot because it's like, oh, you know, she's seen as a very giving person. And a lot of that has to do with another thing of, you know, what causes the superwoman syndrome and stuff like that is that feeling of not enough. And, you know, so it's like giving so much. But it's also if I give, then I can control the outcome. And I'll give a personal example. In all my relationships, friendship, romantic relationships, even, I won't necessarily say family, because I think my mother has the superwoman syndrome, but I was considered the planner. You know, I would plan. So with friends, you know, if we were going to do something, I would plan it. I mean, get everything. Okay, this is where we're going. This is how we're getting there. This is where we're staying. Even in romantic relationships, this is where we're going, this is how we're doing this, and this and that. And then what was so funny is I would complain, nobody ever plans anything. Why do I have to be planned? You know, nobody surprises me. But the whole thing, when I start going, doing my inner work, you know, and it was tough. It was a hard pill to swallow to admit that I'm a controlling person. You know, it was very hard. But then I recognized, you know what? The reason why they're not planning is because I'm the one who's always planning. So I'm going to attract people who don't plan because if they did, I wouldn't trust that they would actually plan it correctly. You know, I would be checking. I'd probably go ahead of time and, like, you know, book the hotel because I didn't think they could do it. And it's a really, it can be a challenging thing to really look in the mirror and look and say, oh my goodness, I'm really controlling. I've got some selfish tendencies because, you know, I don't want them to pick the place because that's not the place I want to go to.
And so that's exactly why really going to that root cause of where did this come from, what lack of confidence or, and it could be just one event or a series of events that created this feeling within yourself that if you do it all, maybe people will like you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And that was another huge thing for me, too, was it was a big like factor. You know, like, I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be recognized. I wanted to be liked. So if I said yes to everything, people would like me more. If I did lots of stuff, you know, and I people would, you know, celebrate that. And it was a big, you know, for a while it was. It's a big ego boost. Like, oh, look at me, you know, like, and still, like I said, there's still part of that. There's still a little secondary gain from that. But I've got it more in check. And I'm really looking at, you know what, if I say yes to this, why am I saying yes? You know, so that's another thing that I do with clients is really looking at seeing, does this really serve you? Like, why are you saying yes to this? You know, or do you really need to add something else on your schedule? You know, how does this benefit you from that core feeling? Because really, the core feeling that I really wanted, I wasn't overwhelmed. I didn't like feeling overwhelmed. That was like, oh, I really wanted calm and ease and flow. And so if I really want that, how can I create that in my life? And that's what I had to look at.
Right. And in our culture does promote, it promotes this type of a syndrome. The more you do, the more you're rewarded, when really just the fact that we are is enough. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to be, quote-unquote, productive in order to be of value and worth. That's why we're human beings, right? I know that you have intimated through some of our conversation about this transformative process that you use with your clients. And I think you talk about your pillars. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is 8 pillars. And the reason why they're pillars is because, and not steps, is Some of the clients that I work with might have like 2 pillars, and after I talk about a little bit about each pillar, people might resonate and say, oh, I do, that's fine in my life, that's not a problem. And then they might look at other things where, oh, that pillar isn't good. So if you think about a building with 8 pillars, you would need all 8 pillars to have a solid structure. So if one of them are, you know, a little weak, then it's not going to hold that solid structure up, and that solid structure is us. So these 8 pillars, and this has really been developed over, like I said, my personal experience as well as my experience with therapy clients and my coaching clients. And the 8 pillars that I have found that really help people are, one is, and they all start with R. So the first one is release. And I'm going to go into more detail about 3 of them, but release is releasing old wounds, beliefs, and patterns. And the other is remove. So it is cleansing physical, mental, spiritual, relational, and environmental toxins. The other is restore. Number 3 is restore. And that's restoring nutritional wellness and hormone balancing. And then number 4 is rebalancing, and that's balancing the chakras, getting out of our head and into our body. I have over the last, I'm not going to say I'm a chakra expert, but over the last 3 years, I have really studied a lot about the chakras, and there's their energy systems in our body, and there's 7 of them. And I actually have an online quiz, not that I've developed, but that's online that I've had my clients take. And this is my therapy and my coaching clients. And I will say that all the people who have the superwoman syndrome, usually their root chakra is out of balance and or underactive. And for our listeners who might say, well, what's the root chakra? Root chakra relates to feeling secure, from feeling grounded or feeling calm, for, like, you know, feeling safe and secure and stable. So you can see why that root chakra might be off for the woman who feels overwhelmed, you know. The other one is rediscover. Rediscover passion and play. Redefine femininity. And that one's because I'm redefining, like, that yin energy, you know. And, you know, that we can celebrate the yin energy. The yin energy is very powerful. Number seven is receive. Give yourself permission to receive. And that goes into being open and letting go of that controlling type nature. And number eight, which is so essential, is relax. And that's about being, tapping into that being. It's also about mindfulness and about sleep. So those are the eight pillars that I have developed. And really, when I work with people, we, you know, go through one and see which ones are depleted and stuff like that. Even though most of them with the Superwoman syndrome, I would say, actually, all eight are usually what we need to work on.
Yeah. I tell you, you said the word receive, and I just drew back. It's like, so I was like, oh. Lynn needs to work on that pillar a little bit more. You know, and you have this vision, at least I do, when you say the word pillars, of these very big, strong, tall pillars holding up this structure. And boy, one of those crumbles, cracks, the structure is not stable. And so that's a really good visual that you can give to somebody that will really mean something to them. Now, pillar one, releasing old wounds, because I tend to work more on a physical basis with people, I was likening that to kind of the beginning process of detoxing, but then I see you have remove. So what's the difference between releasing and removing? And how would you go about that with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you don't just do the psychological, but you do the physical part too.
Right, absolutely. Yes, release is more on the old wounds, limiting beliefs, patterns, things we say to ourselves. So that is more on kind of that mindset. It's really shifting someone's mindset, because until we shift that, we can't even get to the rest of the pillars. Because if my mindset is busy is a badge of honor, money doesn't come to me easily, the things about my whole body image, there isn't enough of me to go around, self-care, who has time for such a luxury, you know, or me taking a day off is laziness. You know, that was a big one for me, like to sit and relax and do nothing. Well, that, someone's going to think I'm lazy. So for that, that's really dealing with the mindset. Exactly.
Sorry.
No, exactly. No, I love it. And whereas remove is more going towards that, what you're going to do. So that is the cleansing part of, let me remove the toxins. Let me remove, like, foods that don't resonate with my body system, that are causing me to have inflammation in my gut, that are causing me to have brain fog, that's causing me to have, belly fat. And with that, I'm actually doing a cleanse with people. And that cleanse is like a 7 to 10 day cleanse. And as part of that, we're still looking at, okay, what is it that's cluttering your mind? You know, what is it that's also cluttering, you know, your environment, because that's a big thing. You know, a lot of times just having clutter in your environment. So I actually work on, like, okay, taking small steps to declutter your environment and really teaching people how a clear, organized, structured environment is going to help their mood, is going to actually help them to get more done because they're not looking for things that, where is it, you know? But also, what in their schedule needs to be taken away? So when I talked about, like, what's not serving you in your schedule, and also relationships. There's people in our lives that could be sucking our energy dry. And when I've done this with people, they have recognized, like, wow, you know, like, I don't, that person really causes me a lot of stress. And I need to either, like, stop having a relationship with them or limit my relationship with them. So that's the thing. Whereas the release is more about mindset and the remove is kind of more the physical, like, you know, what we're going to do.
Now, do you first work on one pillar and then move to the next, or do you do them all at the same time in different levels? How do you do that?
You know what? It is funny. They actually end up kind of going all together well, first of all, with my assessment, we're looking at, you know, what wounds, you know, what mindset shifts that need to be happening. But that's usually happening while we're doing the cleanse. And then after, so those are usually the first two things that we're working on, the release and the remove. But and then the next two that we're usually working on is the restoring and the rebalancing. And while we're restoring and rebalancing, then we're bringing in the relaxation, you know, like, okay, this sleep is important, you know, rediscovering play. So it's like usually those first two we do together, you know, and then it's the restore, the rebalance, and the relax, and then kind of the rediscover, redefine, and receive kind of are sprinkled in, you know, along the journey.
Okay. So this sounds like something, it's a process. It's not something that just happens. Although you might have a shift, I suppose, that will happen, and then it makes the rest of it flow a little more easily. But how long does something like this normally, well, there is no normal, what's an average time that it takes for people to go through this process?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And what's interesting is, a lot of this is I'm also, when I'm working with people on this, a lot of times they're, like I said, coming to me, not necessarily for this, they're coming to me for, oh, I want to lose weight, or I want to have more energy, more vitality, I'm having problems with sleep, I'm feeling anxious. Mm-hmm. So usually these things are sprinkled in with that, and depending on how long that takes. So this could be, usually the shortest amount of time would be like 90 days, you know, but when I'm, 90 days would be probably, yeah, the shortest amount of time. If they don't have, it could be shorter if they don't have any other nutritional issues going on. Someone could probably do it in 2 months, you know, like they could actually do, which I am creating, where I'm going to do a group program that's 8 weeks long, and we're working on one pillar a week and really seeing if these things could be accomplished in 8 weeks and going from there.
Right. But I suspect if somebody's actually coming to see you, these things probably have been simmering in the back of their mind, and so it can take, I can see where that could take longer. It's interesting, you were talking about clutter, and as you know, I have a large family, And so it takes a while. It takes stuff around the house. What can I say? And so I had just bought this book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. So, and the subtitle is The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. And I'm thinking, oh, this is, you know, going to be like a step-by-step book. But straight away, just like what you're talking about, she is going to that root cause of why are you cluttered in the first place. Because you can clean that clutter, just, and I'm sure you go through this with people too. You can lose that weight. You can even balance your blood sugar. But what's going to keep it there? And that's what she says is, what is going to keep you from keeping your house clean and not cluttered? And so it's always going back to that root place of from whence we sprang with all of this. Anyway, I'm just really absorbing all these things that you're telling everybody here that's listening and will listen. And this is just amazing material. If you were going to give us three tips, what do you think those would be?
Yes, so the three tips that I would give all you superwoman syndrome, you amazing women who are doing amazing things,
uh-huh.
is to, one, one is to be kind to yourself. Like, hearing this could be like, oh my goodness, now there's more I have to do. You know, so now you think, oh, I'm going to get that book she recommended. I'm going to do this. So you get into that doing. I know, because I listen to things, and I'm all about, yeah, okay, let me put this,
yeah.
You know, let me put this on my wish list to read, which we were laughing about, Lynn, in a group, you know, or this, or I've got to do this. And so really what I would suggest is, you know, after listening to this, first, you know, taking some time to be, just be. So you just stop and you just, you know, go within and just say, you know what? Tap into your, take a deep breath and really tap into what does my next step need to be? Because as superwomen, we're always thinking. Like you were saying, you know, it's that thinking land. You know, we're always thinking. We're always thinking about the next thing, what we got to do, where we got to go, we got to see that this
right.
isn't done or that. And it's really taking that deep breath, going within, not feeling bad about all this stuff. You are not bad. You are enough. You are amazing and you're enough. But going within and saying, you know what? Let me tap into my intuition. And from listening to this, you know, interview, what's the first thing that I need to shift? Not work, just need to shift. And then when that comes up, you know, you'll just say, okay, universe, God, source, show me the resources. And then just do one thing, you know, not like lists of things. I love lists of things. I like all of that stuff, but it's just doing that one thing consistently. So first tapping in, getting out of your head into your heart center. Then the second thing is I would actually say, now this is a doing thing, but it's really looking, take some time to look at your schedule, you know, and really look and look and say, well, prior to looking at your schedule, so you tap in, you know, to what it is you want to do, but also tapping into your intuition. How is it that you want to feel? You know, and it might be, I want to feel energized. I want to feel peace. I want to feel ease. I want to feel calm. Whatever that is, tap into that energy. Turn that dial up. What does that look like for you? What does your life look like for you when you're feeling calm, calmly energized, you know, not frenetic energy? And then from there, you go to your schedule. or to, you know, whatever you're keeping your list, your to-do list, your life, whatever, your computer, and you look and you say, you look at each thing. So tomorrow you might have an appointment at 10 a.m. Does this produce the feeling, like really see yourself, visualize yourself going to that, whatever that appointment is. It might be meeting with a friend. It might be going to a job. It might be working on your business, whatever it is. Does that give you whatever you want to feel? Is it something that you love doing? If not, ask yourself, why am I doing this? And the question might be because people think I should, or because I've committed to it, or, you know, all these shoulds. And then it might be, like, I'm not saying don't show up for the appointment tomorrow, because as a superwoman, I know you'll still show up. But it's looking at, okay, how can I lessen this? This isn't really serving me. This doesn't give me that calm, ease feeling that I would like. And so then you might look at the process of, okay, how can I eliminate this from my schedule? You know, and so see, these are like gentle steps. This is really, again, being open, being intuitive, tapping into your femininity, you know, going from the intuition. So like, again, I said, you know, being still, taking a deep breath, going into your heart center, even though with everything you heard, giving yourself compassion. Number two is, what energy do you really want to feel on a regular basis? And then number three, looking at your schedule, you know, it could be your schedule. So say your schedule's fine. It could be looking at your house. Is your house, when you go into your house, do you feel like a sense of organization? How do you want to feel? It could be looking at a relationship. You know, do I feel like secure in this relationship? It could be whatever you want to look at, and then really asking yourself, okay, if it's not what you're wanting to feel, then doing that tough work and saying, okay, then why am I here? What am I doing? You know, so those would be my, you know, the three things that I would tell people, because those are like, they're not too much of a doing. They're more of going within, introspection, which for me was a challenge, because being still, whoa, that means I would have to do that tough work.
Right. Well, but this follows that flow that you're talking about with your pillars, you know, where you are having that shift with that first pillar, with that introspection. And so you're following, with these tips, you're still following that same flow there. And it's so integral to the things that are going to follow from there. If you don't make that commitment and understand that why, that reason that you're doing all of this, then all the actions afterwards, they don't stick. And so I think this is really great that you're bringing people to this seat of themselves to have that conversation and to be there and to be present and just to give people permission to just be okay with themselves. Again, that frenetic energy you're talking about, it's often because people are afraid to be centered in themselves, and so all the energy is going out. And just to honor people and have them feel honored is truly a gift that you're giving people, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. And one other thing is with that is, because I do find that when you're, like, if you're not someone who is used to going within, and that can feel scary, and a lot of people think, oh, I'm not going to do it right, you know, again, doing it. So say that really right now where you're at doesn't work for you. The other thing that you can do on connecting more to your body, and then it's a little more fun, and what I challenge a lot of my clients to do is dancing. Taking some time to dance. So you turn on your favorite song and you dance and you make sure you move your hips. because as women, a lot of our emotions are stuck in our hips, you know, and this gets you, first of all, this gets you into that feminine energy, you know. It's also about, you know, getting into that pleasure and play, and you're listening to music and everything. You're also releasing that frenetic energy. But the other thing that it does is after you kind of dance, then go within, because you've kind of released a lot of stuff and you're in that, like you're saying, Lynn, that present moment. Dancing is very grounding. If you do it barefoot, even better, because that's a very grounding energy, which helps to ground your root chakra. And then after you dance, then sit down and go within, because sometimes that's easier for women, especially the superwoman who's used to being on the go and not sitting still. And so it kind of gets that doing, but it's a doing that is very pleasurable and in the present moment.
So when they're still and thoughts come to them, is writing those thoughts down something that they do, or is it not necessary?
Good question. It's depending what their intention is for the meditation. So for this one, where you're kind of just going in and you know, thoughts will come and go, and it's not about having, because a lot of my clients, like, are resistant to meditation because they think of meditation as, you know, a blank slate, and they're like, I'm never going to accomplish that. That is not going to happen. I go, and I don't want you to. It's about, you know, being aware of those thoughts and not having those stories with your thoughts, and when you are aware of the thoughts, bringing them back. So with this, if stuff comes up, you know, stuff that you feel like, oh, intuitively, this is my next step, or intuitively, wow, it came up that, yeah, I should say yes more often to receiving, then yes, journal that, you know. But if it's more like, yeah, you're never going to get this, or yeah, you're a fraud because people think you're a superwoman, but you're really not, and everything, you know, you don't want to write those things down. You want to just say, you know, okay, those are just thoughts. I don't have to have stories with them. But if it's more of that intuitive kind of pop, then yes, writing that down, keeping track of that, because that's what's going to help you as you go along in making these shifts.
Okay, I like that. I know one of the things I like to do just for myself in the morning, and I just take 5 minutes, and I have that quiet time, and as each of the thoughts comes, I just write it down, and I say, okay, thank you, and then move on to the next thought. And it's, I guess that's my way of releasing just whatever, and then I feel more peaceful because that whole body exercise between your brain and your hand, it for me, it just grounds me, and I see, okay, these are the things I don't have to worry if I'm going to forget. I mean, I guess I'm well known for my notebooks, so it just, that's what helps me. I did want to say that if you're on the web and you want to type in a question below the screen on the bottom, there is a chat. So type in your question or any comments you have, and I will make sure to ask Cassandra. If you are listening on the phone, press 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will raise your hand, and I will open your line. If you're listening on the web but would like to call and talk to us in person, the number is 424-243-9555. And again, raise your hand by pressing 1 on your telephone keypad. Now, I know you were mentioning before about your ebook. And I believe it's called 8 Transformative Practices to Feel Healthier and Happier for the Busy Professional Woman Who's Tired of Doing It All and Ready to Feel Good Again. And
yes,
I'm wondering if you could tell me more about that.
Yes, so this ebook, which is, so if you go to the link now, what you will get is the first two chapters, because the ebook is written, but it's not all the way put together, and it will be for launch on the 18th. But I do have the first two chapters that people can get. And basically, this is going into detail about each of the pillars. So it's talking about different examples that have shown up in my life or people I know's life. And then it's actually giving you tips, you know, like some of the tips that I talked about today on things. So under release, you know, I'm talking about how that shows up. In fact, I talk about, you know, money doesn't grow on trees and different things like that, but things that you can do to help shift your mindset. And then, you know, so each chapter has that. It talks about what that pillar is, how it can affect your life, and then some simple, easy, you know, tips that you can use, that you can start right away, that you can use. Also, at the end, I have recipes, because I talk about the chakras in there, and I have recipes actually for each chakra, food recipes for each chakra, two recipes. So it's usually a smoothie or some type of juice or drink recipe and a soup recipe. I think there's one salad recipe under the heart chakra. On that you can use. So it's filled with tips as well as some recipes, and it really is what I have used to help the superwoman, you know, the superwoman shift to a woman who is doing super things and feels happy, healthy, and at ease. I know that's what I desire, is to just have ease. It doesn't have to be this struggle. It doesn't have to be this overwhelmed. You don't have to feel depleted and fatigued. Those are like heavy energies. And I know I've been there. I still have sometimes challenges with it. But there is things that you can do to shift that. And you don't have to, because that's the other thing. A lot of the superwomen feel like, but what, I don't want to change. You know, they feel like they'll be less productive. Let me tell you. When I have this and I'm doing my certain practices and I'm being, you know, I actually get more done. I'm more productive. It's amazing. It's that whole thing. Doing less gives you more. There's actually a book out. Oh, my goodness. It's called Slow. I might have to come back to that and look it up. But it's a good book.
Okay. And yeah, that would be fun. We do have a couple of people who want to talk to us. One we both know very, very well, and that would be our own Dr. Peter Reed. Hello. Are you there? Dr. Reed Marie? I know what she said. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yay.
I am, but you can't hear me. Can you hear me at all?
I can hear you now.
Oh, goody, goody. I've been trying to listen for the last hour, but I've been lying on the beach doing, what is that word, that R word called relax?
Yeah.
And it keeps dropping out. But this has been an awesome, it's been great. I mean, obviously, you know you're speaking to me as the superwoman. And I know... what's helped me in my own life to keep my sanity and my health and my energy in spite of being that superwoman overachiever. And I really appreciate hearing them from you. And just this show happening right now.
I can't hear you. Oh, she dropped.
Oh.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Well, I know one of her main. I know one of her main things of staying, you know, is her, and she teaches this a lot, is her heart math, you know, and I also teach that with my clients, is that heart math and having mini vacations. And like how you were saying, like she's physically at the beach, But she says when she's feeling stressed and when she's doing, you know, all these webinars and radio shows and stuff, that she goes, you know, she goes and does that mini vacation, visualizes herself on the beach, and it really calms her system, because it's really about us getting into that parasympathetic way instead of into that sympathetic, that fight or flight, which ends up, you know, having our adrenals be off. So I know that she does, you know, promote that and does that and is able to, you know, keep, you know, grounded and still get lots done.
Right. And she is a living example of doing all of that. I know there's all the physiological reasons with receiving the oxygen and so forth that helps with that, but just that act of taking in that breath and grounding yourself, as you were talking about, and the movement, like with the dancing, and I'm sitting in my chair here dancing. you know, it's good. It just gets the whole spine and everything flowing, and it gets us into our body, which is not a bad thing to do. Our bodies are good things.
Absolutely.
And now that's what I like about that, what you're doing, especially those recipes. And I bet they're not hard.
Oh, no, they are easy, because I also know that us on-the-go women, you know, we don't have all the time, even though one of my affirmations in the book is, I have all the time in the world to do all I need. And I just want to do a quick, like, little story on this is, I remember learning this from a law of attraction coach probably about 4 years ago. And when they told me this, I was like, okay. But when I say this, I tell you, I kid you not, magically I get everything done. And it's really changing that energy. And I told a client this about a month ago. She was feeling overwhelmed. She felt like she had all this stuff to do. And I said, I want you to go home and I want you to say, I have all the time in the world to complete everything that I need to get done. She looked at me and I said, I know, just try it. Just entertain me. She came back and she was like, I don't know what it is, but I got everything done and I'm saying it all the time. She's like, I love it. And it's really about, again, that mindset and that energy and, you know, what we focus on expands. So if I focus on, I don't have any time, if I focus on I'm busy, I don't even say I'm busy anymore. That's another thing. It's not when I can't do something, when I tell someone is my schedule is filled this week, because I don't want to energize the word busy.
Oh,
I don't even want
that
energy. Yes. It's a key thing, you know, and I just, and it changes the energy around it. And so that's another thing, you know, being conscious of your words and knowing what you focus on expands. So if I'm saying, you know, if I'm saying busy, I'm going to attract busyness, you know. So, yeah, doing those things. So all the time in the world, everyone, you have all the time in the world.
Like that. And I tell people, we're never behind. We're right where we're supposed to be.
That's another good one. That's another good one.
Oh, you know, I got to catch up. I'm behind. No. Just settle down. You're right where you're supposed to be.
You exactly are. So now I found the book. Now, this is a really good book. It's The Abundant Mama's Guide to Savoring Flow. Simplify, embrace the chaos, and find an abundance of time at home. And it's a little Kindle version, and I have the Kindle version. And even though it's for mothers, even if you're not a mother, she has really good tips in that of savoring the slow, you know. And it's by Shawn, Shawn Fink, F as in Frank, I-N-K.
Nice. I have written that down. My book list is growing. When my husband sees me on Amazon, he's going, no, not another book. I could start my own library.
I know.
Exactly. Well, this has been truly a great pleasure. I have learned so much from you. If people want to get in touch with you, I know that on the blog post for this radio show, we have the link for your free ebook. But if they would like to get in touch with you, what would be the best way?
So the best way is to email me, and you can email me at Cassandra@ZestInHarmonyCounseling. I know that's a long one, but it's Cassandra@ZestInHarmonyCounseling.com. That's the best way. But say, like, you're like, what? Well, how do you spell that? Actually, if you even go to my website and there's a thing that says contact me, if you just go there, you can put in and I'll get that email too. So those are two great ways. I check my email, you know, daily, and we'll get back to you on that. And then you can always find me under my name, Cassandra Herbert, on all social media. Yeah.
Great.
I think I'm on, like, every one of those. So anyway, you know, you want to contact me, you can.
I do have somebody who wrote on the chat that if you could name all the eight pillar names again, that would be great.
Okay, yes, I can, definitely. And I was going to say what's very easy, but I'm going to name them all, is also the first part of the book that on when you sign up for that, they're all listed in there too. But here's the eight names again. Release, so that's release old wounds, beliefs, and patterns. Remove, so that's cleansing physically, mentally, spiritual, and environmental toxins. Restore, that's restoring nutritional wellness and hormone balancing. Rebalance, that's balancing the chakras, getting out of our head and into our body. Rediscover, that's rediscovering passion and play. Redefine, that's redefining femininity. Receive, that's giving yourself permission to receive. And relax, that's being and mindfulness and sleep.
Okay, and then what is the link for your ebook again? I just pulled it up and it brought me to a page not found, so maybe I typed it in wrong.
Let me see if I...
ZestInHarmonyCounseling.com/ebook.
Right, that is it. But if you now, when you went to the link on the radio,
yep.
Radio show, it doesn't come up.
Yeah, it just says page not found.
Okay, well this is maybe it's in the cache or something, because when I go to it, it comes up. But I think it just came live last night. But this is it for people who, you know. Might just be listening. It's ZestInHarmonyCounseling.com, that /ebook. So if you do it that way, I'm going to see if I also search it on my, because you could go to the search, but that should get it. You should be able to get it that way.
Okay.
Yeah. And it might have been, yeah.
Okay. Well, I will look at that when we're done and make sure that I correct that. And Dr. Rita Marie just guided me and said to tell you thanks and that you have done an awesome job. And I echo her words. I really appreciate everything that you have done and said and shared with us here today. So for anybody, once again, that would like to get in touch with Cassandra, it's Zest, Z-E-S-T, and A-N-D, Harmony, H-A-R-M-O-N-Y, Counseling, C-O-U-N-S-E-L-I-N-G.com. Did I get that right?
Yes. You did? Yes, you did. So,
well, thank
yes.
you. And
this has been an awesome show. I'm sure people will come back and listen to it again. And so go forth and have amazing days. You have enough time to have these amazing days. And until next week, well, actually next week, both Dr. Emery and I will be out of town. So you'll have to come and listen to see what the magical, mystical tips we have for you in our radio show. So until we meet again, have a vibrant and healthy day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.